Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find
one. Are you confused with the ups and downs in the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stock.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, everybody. Welcome again to another live episode of Wall Street Unspun, midweek market update. I'm Peter Schiff, president of Euro Pacific Capital. I host this show every week live, 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time on my website, www.europac.net, and also on shortwave radio, 5.07 megahertz. I'm also the author of the book Crash Proof, How to Profit from the Coming Economic Collapse. If you haven't purchased a copy or two, go out and get it. Try to buy that one before the next book comes out, which I think could be out before the end of this year. Also, remember my upcoming appearances. You know, I am going to be at the Freedom Fest. You know, we actually have over 200 people who signed up for the Freedom Fest, and there's about 1,200 people coming so far. So, you know, almost 20% of the attendees, 17% of the attendees at the Freedom Fest are coming directly from my emails that I sent out to people on my list, which is incredible that we were able to get 200 people to pay to attend this event. And it shows, you know, that my people on my database is really growing, that we can now be the biggest draw at one of these conferences. So after the Freedom Fest, which is going to be July 10th, if you haven't signed up, you can probably still do it. I think I will be, I mean, unless we're trying to work out the arrangements, but I should be at the Money Show in San Francisco in August. It's August 7th through the 10th, San Francisco Money Show. And then I will be speaking at the New Orleans Investment Conference in November. And so that's the schedule. You know, I mentioned on the show that I was going to do a seminar in the Chicago area, but I decided to cancel that trip to Chicago. I just have been traveling much too much recently, and I wanted to cut back a little bit, so I didn't want to make the July trip out to Chicago, which we had originally planned. So fortunately, we never sent out the email and never actually picked a date for the Chicago seminar. We will be going out to Chicago at some point. I will keep everybody posted, both on the show and through emails, when we ultimately do have that seminar. But for now, if you do want to hear me speak, you can go to Vegas for the Freedom Fest. You can go to San Francisco. Or you can go to New Orleans. Any event, I don't have any scheduled appearances. I've been light on TV this week. They actually canceled my Wednesday spot. They needed some people. Fox did invite me on Bulls and Bears this Saturday, but I needed to come into the city, and I didn't feel like taking a trip on Friday, so I had to give it a pass. I think, though, I will be on Bulls and Bears. I said I would do it a week from this Saturday, so unless they cancel me, I will be on a week from Saturday. But keep posted to my website, you know, as I do learn about upcoming appearances. I will post them on the front page of my website, and you can check there and always try to catch the TV appearances. And, of course, if you miss the live appearances, we archive them on our website. Some of you have noticed that I didn't put a commentary up last week. I was just really backed up out in California, and I meant to write one, and I just got bogged down with the stuff I was doing out there. I just never got around to it, so I will make sure and get a commentary up on Friday. There is a new commentary today by John Brown. Now, remember, there's two commentaries now being posted on my website. I'm writing one, and John Brown is writing one. So we're getting two new commentaries generally per week, so there's plenty of stuff to read on the website. And before I get into the show, just a comment. I did notice that quite a few people followed my suggestion last week with respect to Crash Proof on Amazon.com. And if we can just continue with the effort, we might be able to move this five-star review up to the top. We've moved it from the three position to the two position. So that was pretty good. So now, you know, instead of a two-star review and then a three-star review, when you're good on Amazon, you see the two-star review followed by the a five-star review. But if we could just get a couple hundred more clicks on the five-star review, right now there's 423 people who have clicked on it. There's still 696 that have clicked on the negative review. If we can get another couple hundred people to click that this review was helpful to them, that they found it helpful, then we can move it from the number two position up to the number one position. That way, you know, when people look at the book and scroll down for review, the first review they won't see will be a two-star. And it is actually very unfair because there's only 7 two-star reviews. There's 162 five-star reviews. But, you know, one of the 7 two-star reviews is the one that happens to be the most highlighted review. And apparently, 497 people found that review helpful, which means at a minimum, 497 people did not buy my book because they read that rather unfair review. So to the extent that we can get that review down lower on the list, maybe fewer people will actually read it and fewer people will be convinced not to buy it because of that review. Anyway, let me give out the number to call. You know, of course, this is a call-in show, and I invite as many people as possible to try to call in, and I always try to get to the calls. The phone number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. I know the calls are queuing up, and so I will get to them momentarily. No, so the big events, I think, that seem to be happening in the market right now, the stock market is extremely weak. Stocks in the U.S., the Dow is now down about 7 or 8% in the last 30 days. Global markets are also weak. Many of the stocks that we own at Euro-Pacific Capital have also been weak. Now, many of them have made 52-week highs. We have several stocks making 52-week highs today, so it's kind of a mixed bag. Most of our Australian stocks, with the exception of energy, and coal are getting clobbered. I mean, the Australian market, there's a lot of selling going on right now. And I think it's a lot of opportunity. I think, you know, I'm not, you know, some people are a little bit upset when some of these stocks are going down. You know, I think it's just an opportunity for us to continue to buy. I'm not really sure what is driving so much selling in the Australian market, but I think it's an opportunity. There's also some weakness in some of the other markets, not as pronounced, at least. Some of these names have been beaten up. But, you know, I think there's a lot of problems. There was an article that was written today. I think it was somebody from Royal Bank of Scotland or one of these analysts came out. I think I put the article up on my website if you want to read it. It's on the homepage, where he was predicting a major collapse in the world stock markets. I mean, just like a crash. And, you know, I think his analysis potentially could be correct. But I think the world is really facing a key moment here. Either they allow the dollar in the U.S. economy to collapse, or the whole world is going to be dragged down with us. See, the world still has a solution to their problems. That's cut us off. You know, let the dollar collapse, let their own currencies rise, and solve their problems. But the world is so, you know, still trying to prop our economy up, and the problems for the rest of the world are not the result of any fundamental problems with their economy. It's the result of fundamental problems with our economy and their efforts to prop it up. And that's the problem. And I don't think it's, at this point, the problems are too big. The world just can't afford to protect us anymore. They're going to have to allow this phony economy to come collapsing down. And that's, in the long run, of course, that's the best thing that can actually happen to us. You know, the government is still trying to talk down the price of oil, just like they're trying to talk up the value of the dollar. And it's not working. You know, oil was up almost $3 a barrel again today. We're above $137 a barrel. And despite all the tough talk on the dollar, all the dollar has really managed to do is not go down. I mean, it's moved up slightly off its lows. But if you look at a chart, it looks like hell. I mean, it's going to just collapse any day. So the war to talk up the dollar is not working. They can't talk down oil. The forces are too overwhelming for the government to bear, for the Fed to bear. And it's going to be soon. The Fed has put itself in this box now. Remember, it's going to be tough on inflation. It's got to raise rates, but it knows it can't raise rates. So, you know, the world is going to realize how impotent the Fed is, and it's going to be a major, major economic calamity very shortly, because either the Fed is going to do nothing, in which case the dollar is going to crash and our economy is going to go with it, or the Fed's going to raise rates, and the dollar is going to crash anyway. And now, you know, it's going to be even worse for the Fed. So there's really not much they can do. We've just got to do what we can to take advantage of some of the global weakness in equity markets that is really emanating from the problems in the United States that we export to the world, and try to continue to get out of the dollar before the next leg down, and keep buying gold. You know, gold was up about $10 today, you know, around 880. It is looking extremely strong to me. We are biding time here, but we are consolidating above the 850 high, which is the high in 1980. This next leg of this bull market is going to be spectacular. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to be out of silver. These markets could be explosive. I think the mining stocks, you know, there's some of the keys. Some of the South African stocks hit 52-week lows, multi-year lows this week. I think there's some real opportunities there. I still really like the Perth Mint. I know there's been rumors floating around about there being problems over there. I can assure you, from my perspective and from checking things out, I still think the program is one of the safest ways to own gold, one of the cheapest ways to store gold and silver offshore. I think it's a great deal. If I didn't think so, we'd find another way to sell it. We certainly don't get, you know, paid that much on the Perth Mint. There are plenty of other ways to recommend gold and silver. And I still encourage all my clients to own some gold and silver in their own possession, to have it at their house, but you don't want to have all your gold or even the majority of your gold on your person in your house, where it could be lost or stolen or subject to U.S. government confiscation. I think it's important to have gold offshore, and I think the Perth Mint program is a great way to do it. And if you're not familiar with the program, you can read about it on my website, and you can call up the Newport Beach office in particular. Any of the brokers that you're used to working with at Euro Pacific Capital can help you with the Perth Mint, help you buy gold or silver. If you want to just, if you're not a client of Euro Pacific Capital, if you're not working with a particular advisor at all, and you just want to get started with the Perth Mint, then you can call the Newport Beach office directly. The number there is 800-993-8350, 800-993-8350. 8350. Don't wait too much longer on this. As I said, there is a tremendous, tremendous momentum, I believe, building in these markets, and the dollar is about to fall through a trapdoor. And don't listen to, you know, whatever kind of spin, you know, you're getting on television or what you're reading. I was reading articles today. I read an article in the paper about how health clubs are suffering. You know, a lot of people are not renewing their memberships. A lot of people aren't signing up. And, you know, I've talked about this on this show, that Americans are going to cut back on things that they can cut back on. And if you're spending $65 or $35 a month on your health care membership, you know, people can jog instead of run on a treadmill. They can ride their bikes. They can walk. They can do push-ups at home. They don't need to be at a gym. And they're going to cut that back. And this is going to happen across the board. People are going to give up their personal trainers, you know. People who are getting their hair cut once a month, they'll get their hair cut every 6 weeks. You know, you could do it. I mean, but all of this is going to have a ripple effect. You know, if I'm a barber and I've got clients coming in on average once every 4 weeks, and they scale it back to once every 6 weeks, that's a third of my income gone. You know, if I am a personal trainer and people aren't using my services because they're cutting back because they're spending so much money on food and energy, then I'm not going to make as much money as a trainer. Now, I've got to cut back, too, because not only am I spending more money on food and energy, but I'm earning less money from my clients because I have fewer clients. And this is going to ripple through the whole economy. And it's happening. It's happening as we speak. You know, I saw this report on one of the world news shows tonight on the supermarkets and how they were going over all these various products where the manufacturers were, you know, cutting back the portions significantly. 10, 15, 18% reducing the size, the quantity in the boxes. And, you know, not raising the prices, but these are price increases. Now, I'm thinking, I wonder if all this is getting picked up by the government in the CPI. You know, for all I know, you know, when they give you a smaller box of cereal, the government thinks, well, that's good. It takes up less room on your shelf. You don't get as fat. It's fewer calories. You know, maybe they'll think it's an improvement and count it as a price decrease. The fact that we got less food in the box is more convenient. It makes the box lighter. It's easier to carry. That's an improvement. Maybe the government is counting that as a price cut. But anyway, that's what the government does. But we all know that, you know, we've got to go back to the supermarket more often because we run out of cereal faster. Or, you know, there's not as many rolls, sheets of paper in a roll of toilet paper or paper towels, you know. So you got to buy more rolls. I mean, we're not being fooled when they put fewer rolls in a spool. You know, I mean, we just got to go buy more paper towels. But, you know, it doesn't become as obvious, and who knows if it's getting picked up by the government in the CPI. Anyway, let me go and start with the phone calls. First guy is Steve in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Steve.
Peter, the Chinese stocks are down 25% this year. Do you think that it's a good time to buy them? Also, my other two questions is there's a couple new ETFs, one which shorts the U.S. Treasuries. You can go with a short treasuries or the long to short them. And the other one is, which Jim Rogers suggested, is an ETF to go long the Chinese renminbi. So between those three,
RMB is going to keep rising. I mean, we buy it. You know, we have a lot of exposure to the renminbi through the Merck Asian Hard Currency Fund. Also, we buy a lot of the stocks in Hong Kong that are, you know, heavy in the Chinese market. They earn a lot of RMB revenue. So I like the RMB. It's going to go higher. As far as the broad question, should you buy the Chinese market, the market has been very hot in China. The stocks are very expensive. So I would not buy the broad market. I think it still goes down. But I still think some of our stocks, some of our Chinese names that are in Hong Kong, a couple of them have been beaten up pretty good. They're at good valuations. They're at low PEs. They have good dividends. So selectively, you can buy into that market through some of these Hong Kong names. But I wouldn't just buy a broad basket of just mainland China stocks from Shanghai or Shenzhen, because as bullish as I am on the Chinese economy, you know, many of those stocks are expensive. As far as shorting the treasuries, you know, I'm short treasuries in my own commodities account. You know, if you want to make a gamble, if you want to bet on something, I think the only thing worse than dollars today is being paid dollars in 30 years, and that's what treasuries are. So I think they're going to go down, but it's up to people. You know, I don't do that for my clients. People want to gamble. They know where to do it, but I just don't encourage it. But anyway, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dave, who's been waiting patiently from Australia. How you doing, Dave?
G'day, Peter. Well, thanks. Yes. I enjoyed Crash Proof thoroughly and distributed.
Was it in a store in Australia, or did you get it on the Internet?
Unfortunately, through Amazon, as soon as it was available. Got it about a year and a half ago. So, yeah, we enjoyed it and distributed it widely. I haven't seen it in stores yet, though.
Well, if you go by a bookstore over there, ask them if they have a copy. You know, maybe get them to stock it.
Yeah.
They don't even have to translate it. You know, it's still, you know, it's English.
That's it.
It recently was translated into Mandarin, and, you know, the book is available in China.
Yeah, yeah. We've been working on getting our... we call it super or retirement account through Europac, but I just wanted to ask you about a strategy because you often speak about liabilities in dollars and assets in other currencies. And, you know, through Pershing at the moment, margin loans are around 8.25%, and many of these energy trusts and other trusts are yielding over 11%. Am I missing something? This is a positive yield, and...
Oh, yeah, there is a carry. I mean, I have a margin myself in my account, and I think the margin rate at Pershing is quite a bit lower than 8%. I don't know exactly what it is, but I don't think it's as high as 8%. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't really, you know, keep track of it too heavily. But, you know, depending on what you want to do, but if you can borrow at, let's say, 7%, and you can invest 9, 10, 11%, yeah, it's a positive carry, you know, as long as the stock doesn't get killed. You know, you're going to make money on the difference between what you collect in dividends and what you pay in interest. The only thing different is that the margin loans are variable, and you never know. They could go up dramatically in an event to save the dollar. So the best way to do it is if you can, you know, take out a mortgage against a piece of property or something and get a fixed rate loan, because all the margin loans are not fixed. They can go up dramatically quickly. But if you can get a fixed rate, like a 30-year mortgage right now at 5.5%, 5.75%, 6%, I mean, I don't own any property, so I can't mortgage any. But if I did and I couldn't sell, I would mortgage it to the hilt, and I would take all the money I could get my hands on and invest it out of the U.S. and just make sure I had a big enough carry, a big enough yield to cover my mortgage obligation. And then in the end, I'd be sitting pretty because the dollar would collapse and I'd own all these foreign stocks for next to nothing.
Sure, yeah. Unfortunately, our rates are good here in Australia.
Yeah, if I was living in Australia and I wanted to buy a house, I'd try to get the bank to give me a mortgage in U.S. dollars.
Yeah, well, the next best thing is a margin account and assets that we can buy overseas through our Pershing account, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could do that. I mean, you know, we could do it for you as long as you understand the risk. Just talk to your broker because, you know, anything can happen. Once you go on margin, you really put a whole new level of risk. I mean, if you own stocks and there's no margin, you know, it doesn't really matter if the price plunges in the short run. As long as the value of the company is still there and it's just a market phenomenon, you can ride it out. The problem is when you leverage yourself up and the assets come down and you get margin calls, if you don't have the extra money, and now you're forced to sell at a lousy price. And that's what happens to a lot of people, and that's what accelerates some of the weakness, is the market goes down, and then the people who leveraged up and bought on margin are forced to sell, which makes it go even lower, which brings in even more forced selling. And so sometimes share prices can plunge, and all because of margin-related selling. It's got nothing to do with the market. And then sometimes people who aren't even on margin see the price of their stock collapsing, and they panic, and they sell too. So, it, you know, you have a whole new element, you know, when you start dealing with borrowed money, you know?
Sure, yeah. Well, listen, Peter, enjoy your work very much, and you've got a whole potential clientele down here in Australia one day if you set up an office.
Well, I mean, one of these days we're going to have offices all around the world, but you guys down under, I mean, Australia, I think, is one of the places I'm getting my clients to send money to. I'm not trying to get out of Australia. So right now, my real mission is to help Americans get their money out of America. I don't think that people in Australia necessarily need to get their money out of Australia. But I do think it makes sense for everybody. No one should have all their eggs in one basket. And even if I think Australia is a good place to invest, if I was a broker down there, I would certainly encourage my clients who were Australian to have probably the majority of their investments outside of Australia. But I wouldn't tell them to exclude Australia completely, which is what I happen to be telling my American clients right now, because I think the U.S. is a ticking time bomb. And so I think people need to be out of the U.S. Right now because it's just too much risk here.
Sure. Well, thanks, Peter, very much for your advice.
All right, well, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
And let me quickly take a commercial break, and we will be back with the rest of the show and more calls.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back. And I'm going to call 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. I always like to take calls from other countries, and it's interesting to see that even though what I'm talking about and speaking about is more for the American audience and about the problems in America, it's nice to know that people are reading my stuff and listening to me all over the world. And you know, I think that's great. And I hope, you know, anybody who's listening to this broadcast, either on shortwave or on the internet, if you're listening from another country, you know, I think it's important, you know, try to help, you know, get the book into the stores there, tell people about it. I mean, it really should be read on a more global basis. You know, I noticed on, you know, on Amazon still has not put Crash Proof back into the investment category, which I think that's why I think the last few weeks the sales numbers up there. Right now it's ranked number 1,400, and it's typically in the top few hundred. So hopefully they'll get it back into the investment category. But definitely this would be a good time if you need a couple of copies to buy some and lift the rankings back up. I like to see it up there. And of course, also if you've read the book and you've enjoyed the book, write a review. You know, put a 5-star review up there and tell other people why you like the book and how you found out about it. And you know, the more people that read this book, the better. Because as I said, it's going to be hitting the fan soon. And there's so much misinformation and disinformation out there. Very few people really understand what's happening and why it's happening and what we can actually do to try to improve the situation. Because, of course, all the solutions that are going to be popular and that are likely to be followed are not solutions at all. They're going to make the situation worse, and nobody's going to understand why. Unless, of course, they've read a book like Crash Proof, and then they'll know. And the more people who know, maybe we'll have some people resisting what the government is trying to do. Anyway, back to the phones. I think the next caller is Chad in Minnesota.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, how are you, Chad?
Good. I think I just caught you talking about the Australian market, and I have an account with you along with my parents, which is a bigger portion, but it's kind of they're mirrored the same. And I was put in with John out of the Arizona office maybe 4 weeks ago, and they took a big hit. I didn't catch that. What do you think happened there?
Well, I mean, the stocks that have gone down in general, we had one of our Canadian energy trusts cut the dividend, and the stock went down by probably 25% that day. Now, their earnings weren't a problem. They cut the dividend, and they're just going to retain the earnings. So intrinsically, the stock is no less valuable, and they're going to be expanding in their natural gas business. But, of course, you know, a lot of retail investors own it, and the minute they cut the dividend, they sell. So that was a big drop. And then we had a problem with one of our utilities, a couple of names, in the Badcock and Brown family. There's a financial, you know, there's a lot of worries about this parent company, Babcock and Brown, and some of these smaller companies they spun off. And we've invested in many of these smaller companies because they have the assets we like. They have power, wind power, infrastructure, and so we own those. And then there's another company that we own that's in the forestry sector and agriculture where there was a rumor they were going to lose a potential tax break, and the rumors have been denied, and the stock drops, you know, 30% overnight on a rumor. So we have another stock in Australia that's a nickel company, the second biggest there, and, you know, there was a fire. There was an explosion in a natural gas pipeline, and so that disrupts their earnings for a bit, and the stock plunges. But these are, you know, so if for some reason, I'm saying the Australian market, I haven't noticed it really, the Singapore, Hong Kong, European markets, most of our other Canadian stocks, all of our New Zealand stocks, some of our stocks are the rest. You know, a couple of our Canadian trusts raised their dividends. So there are pockets of stocks that we've owned that have been, you know, exceptionally weak in the past month. And I think it's, you know, most of it I think is completely unwarranted, and I think ultimately extremely good opportunities for people to buy, and we continue to buy. And I've bought personally, I own a number of those stocks myself that have gotten hit, and I've added across the board to those positions. So, you know, I generally look at it as an opportunity. Some of the clients, some of the newer clients who are brand new, and they say, gee, my portfolio is down 10%. What the hell is going on? You know, I mean, it happens. You know, that's what, you know, stocks, there's no guarantee that stocks can't go down. And we don't buy stocks because we think they're going to go up right away. We're buying them for the dividends. We're buying to get out of the dollar.
Right.
The fact that they might go down, that's par for the course. That's how stocks work. You know, it's a reflection of the market. And all sorts of things can happen short-term market, having nothing to do with the underlying fundamentals or the long-term value of the company. A lot of it has to do with the emotions and the positions of the buyers and sellers at that time. And, you know, you get panic, you get margin-related selling, you get short selling coming in. I mean, stocks can fall. I use an example. I have an internal conference call. There's a particular stock I talk about because my brother owns some of it, and I tease him about it. You know, my brother works with me now, but he bought the stock. It was a coal company. And, you know, it was at $40, and the stock went down to 20. It got cut in half in a couple of months. And he had bought some, you know, at around 30-ish or so on the way down and said, oh, well, it's gone down from 40 to 30. Let me buy it. And then it went down to 20, and he got, oh, no, this thing, this is terrible. Let me get out of this stock. It's terrible. I'm like, look, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't know why, but I bought some where we were at that $20 price, and, you know, it made it too high today. It's about $90, and it's only been about a year and a half, and it goes from 20 to 90. And the point is, look, I don't know why it went from 40 to 20. I mean, there was no reason for it. It just sold off. And you know, now it goes from 20 to 90. I mean, stocks go up and stocks go down. The thing is, they pay the dividend the whole time. We're not buying it for a few months or even a few years. I'm buying these stocks for clients for 5 years, 10 years. I'm buying stocks for clients so that they can will them to their children when they die. I'm trying to preserve wealth, and I want to collect income. And I'm buying stocks that we don't sell. We don't have to sell. We're getting the dividends. And as long as we're getting our dividends, and of course, yeah, there are some stocks like this Canadian Trust that cut their dividend. The dividend is still good. It's not nearly as good as it was when I first bought it. But we have other stocks that raise their dividends, and it's the yield on the portfolio that counts. Obviously, you got a portfolio of 20 or 30 or 40 stocks. You know, some companies might cut their dividends once in a while. Other companies are going to raise it. But what counts is the yield on the whole portfolio, and hopefully over time, the yield will keep rising. And it should, based on the types of stocks that we're buying. We're focusing on the right sectors, and the right currencies, and the right countries.
Well, as far as that goes, is this the time to double down then, right again on these?
Well, it depends on the stock. But, yeah, I mean, I always like to buy weakness. I mean, traders like to buy strength. But investors, I like to buy weakness. I get good buys. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, you buy stocks and, you know, you want to increase them and they're in an uptrend, and sometimes you have to. But if you get a chance to buy a good stock for a lot less than you bought it the first time, the chances are you should do it. It doesn't mean you have to double down, but, you know, you get dividends and, you know, you put a little bit more in. I mean, you know, take advantage of the low price, because that's generally an opportunity. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you buy more of a stock. Chances are it's going to go down even lower. I mean, it's the odds of you catching the bottom are pretty slim,
right?
But you don't have to catch the bottom to do the right thing. I mean, even my brother, even buying that stock at 30, you know, even though it went to 20 and he was nowhere near the bottom, when the stock's at 90, doesn't 30 look like a good buy? You know, and I looked at, and of course that stock, that same stock that's now at 90, a few years before my brother bought it, it was below 10. I mean, so the thing is, you know, you look, I looked at a stock, a coal stock that one of my clients owned. I was talking to her in her account. The stock's at 100. She bought it for $2 a share, from 2 to 100. I bought it for it in like 2001 or something. So, but I'm sure that stock has been very volatile, up and down. But, you know, it doesn't matter. And if you want to buy a stock at 2 and have it go to 100, you can't sell it every time it sells off, because you'll never have, you know, a stock that goes from 2 to 100 unless you ride out the volatility.
Right. No, I just wanted to make that call. I agree with that. I just wanted to make this call and then use this archive to let my parents hear it and just kind of have your...
If anybody, you know, I always, you know, we always take calls, and whenever the market's going down, we always get more calls from people who are worried. And, you know, we're happy to take them. And I know that over time, you know, the clients who have been with us, you know, this is, you know, the volatility we've seen recently in some of these Australian stocks, I think is probably as big a volatility as I've seen. But we have gone through many, many periods of time where our portfolios have gone down 5 or 10% or more. And so far, they've always come back and made new highs. So clients who have been around for a few years, you know, they kind of understand that that's just the way it goes. But a lot of the new people, they come on board and they say, well, I bought this portfolio to protect myself, and they're surprised that it's gone down. And if that's the case, then maybe they you know, hopefully the brokers will do a better job of explaining that if the stocks go down, that's okay. And we're not buying them because we say they can't go down. We know they can go down. They can go down a lot. The problem is the dollar can go down a lot more. And when the dollar goes down, it's not going to come back. You know, if we buy good stocks, they might go down because of short-term reasons, but they're going to come back, and they're going to go higher. But the dollar could fall indefinitely because there's no intrinsic value at all to the dollar. And we know they're about to go on a, you know, on a print fest, and it's a very dangerous thing to own. So, you know, now, you could say, well, let me just own foreign currencies instead of these foreign assets. But, you know, I still don't think that's the right way. I still think we have to own stuff. We have to own real things. And we have to accept the volatility. Because in the end, if we don't want volatility, we're going to end up suffering.
Okay. No, that explains it. I just wanted to, and I'll use this archive to let my parents.
All right, well, great. And hopefully it's a good question, and other people will use it for the same purpose.
Oh, great answer. Thank you, Peter.
All right, let me pick up the next call. I think it's Tom in Pennsylvania. Is Tom there?
Hello there. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I have more of a general question for you. Just recently, the Royal Bank of Scotland, you might be aware of this, came out with a letter to their high net worth.
Yeah, I mentioned that. There's a news story about that I put on my website today. So.
Oh, did you? Okay, I didn't look at it. I didn't.
Anyone wants to read that article about this prediction of a crash?
Yeah, that's
on my website.
Look, my question really centered around, they're talking about primarily the U.S. market, but they also mentioned international stocks. Now, a lot of, you know, your philosophy and approach is to buy good, sound international companies that produce dividends. How do you see that playing out as far as the type of portfolios that we have?
Well, you know, I think I'm not buying a lot of the, you know, stocks at 20 and 30 and 40 times earnings. So I'm buying value. And even if the stocks that we own go down, if we didn't buy them to sell them into a rally, if we bought them to keep them for years and to collect dividends, then if they go down, it really doesn't affect our strategy. So even if foreign markets do go down in sympathy with a collapse of the U.S., I believe it's going to be temporary, and I don't believe we're going to be affected by it. But I also think, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that a major, you know, worldwide collapse is only going to happen if the world continues to prop up the U.S. Once the rest of the world realizes that their salvation lies in letting us collapse, I believe they will do it, and I believe they're going to come to that conclusion that it's cheaper to let us collapse than to prop us up. And when they do that, it's all over. We're going to have a major collapse, and it's U.S. assets that are going to suffer dramatically, and the world will be fine. In fact, the world will be better off. Now, in the long run, we'll be better off, too, because the sooner we collapse, the sooner we can begin rebuilding our economy on a sounder foundation. But that rebuilding effort could be complicated and almost impossible if we don't have a serious retrenchment in government spending and regulation, which is very unlikely during an Obama administration. It's not impossible, but I think it's very unlikely. So over the next 4 or 5 years, I am very, very pessimistic on the prospects for the U.S. economy. Beyond that, if we can get you know, a different type of administration in, you know, 5 years from now, then maybe we'll be able to, you know, go back into the right direction. But it's going to be very, very rough for the U.S., and I think the only salvation is going to be beyond our borders, and I think that's where people have to go.
All righty. I just wanted to ask you about that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call. I think the next one is it Eric in North Carolina.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate you taking my call. My question is actually regarding real estate. I know that you feel that residential real estate right now is a toxic investment, but looking at the commercial side of things, I would assume that in the short term, in general, you would probably believe that retail and office would be a poor investment in this country. But how do you feel about multifamily or warehouses or things along those lines as an investment?
Well, I wouldn't want to buy any residential-type real estate in the U.S.
Okay.
I think that you'll
even like a low-income or like a multifamily apartment with the number of people.
I think you'll lose less money in multifamilies than you'll do in single-family. I think, you know, and if I was going to own a multifamily, you know, I think you're going to have more people trying to get into apartments closer to where they work so that they have lower utility bills, a shorter commute. And so if I was going to own multifamily units near major cities, as people start leaving suburbia and moving closer to where they work, but I don't think it's going to be a profit for a while. I mean, I think if I was going to invest, it would want to be in farmland, you know, agriculture, you know, minerals or mining or lands where, you know, you can extract things from the land. Maybe if you can buy an old factory or, you know, some industrial property that maybe still has some value that maybe you can invest in and retool it. I don't know. I just think that you're going to lose money. If I had money to invest, I wouldn't want to buy, you know, apartments. Now, I think that, you know, in a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, that might be a great opportunity. And I still have in the back of my mind an idea of putting together a partnership or hedge fund type investment for my clients and raise, you know, $100 million or $200 million from my clients as a pool of money to do just that, to buy up. You know, I think that, you know, I might want to buy condos, entire condo projects that are 90% finished or not, you know, from banks or out of foreclosure, or maybe buy them up one at a time and then convert them back to apartments. I mean, I think there could be some real bargains in U.S. real estate, but we're not there yet by any stretch.
Okay. Well, you were on Jim Buflava's radio show, I think, about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I just did that show.
And one thing that he's been focusing on recently, and I know this affects you with the number of shares you own with the junior miners, is the naked short selling. And I just want to get your thoughts on that. I mean, how much of an effect do you think that that's having and on some of these junior miners being priced so low and being beaten down? And
I really don't know. I mean, it's just, to me, it seems there's so many great things to short. Why short miners? But for some reason, I guess maybe people are doing it. But, you know, all the better, because, you know, let the shorts keep selling these stocks, because we can keep buying them, and eventually the shorts are going to have to cover. And when they do, where are they going to get their shares? You know, it's going to be a bloodbath. And I think that, you know, the shorts are going to lose a lot of money in these stocks.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you taking the call.
All right, thank you. Okay, the next caller. I think I only have one caller on the line. Let me take the last commercial break, and we'll be back. We can probably take a couple more calls. 888-678-9597. We'll be right back.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, I am back. I think I have one more caller on hold. Let's see. It is Larry from Arizona. Go ahead, Larry.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, Peter, a couple of questions. First one is, what are the chances that you're going to run for president in 2012?
Oh, I'd say pretty slim.
You might be the only person with credibility left by then. My question is, last week, Larry Kudlow looked into the camera. They did a close-up on him, and he said, buy dollars. Now, your opinion or your recommendation is the exact opposite. But when you foresee governments like the Chinese government removing the peg to the dollar, and what's holding them back? What's their reservation?
They've already relaxed the peg, and the Chinese RMB has appreciated by about 20% since the Chinese government did that. And it's going to continue to appreciate, I think, and eventually it's going to appreciate by a lot more. So, you know, but as far as Larry Kudlow never gotten it right. If you look at his track record on his show, you know, every prediction he's ever made about the markets, whether it was oil, whether it's gold, whether it's the dollar, whether it's the stock market, he's always wrong. So the last place you'd want to take your investment advice is from Larry Kudlow. You know, I agree with Kudlow in some of the things and some of the macroeconomics. I mean, he understands some of the economic principles, and he understands about limited government, laissez-faire capitalism. He just doesn't know how to apply that to reality. He doesn't really understand much about the current U.S. economy. He certainly doesn't understand the dynamics behind investments and markets and the way they perform. He's more of just a cheerleader. His job is to go on television and say how great everything is. I mean, I watched his show today, and he has this little Goldilocks that runs across the screen. I mean, he's still in a delusional sense that we're living in this fantasy world in which, free market capitalism is the best path to prosperity. It is. I don't argue with him. Unfortunately, we don't have free market capitalism. We have some kind of socialist, command economy with fiat money. This is the path to financial ruin. We're on the road to serfdom, not the path to prosperity. It's just unfortunate that Larry Kudlow doesn't understand us.
Well, I agree with your outlook. Why do you use the word recession rather than the word depression? It seems to me that things are possibly worse than they were back in...
They use the same depression. They start saying, oh, you're a kook, So, if you talk depression, then they dismiss you as being, there's no way that can happen. So I say recession, but I usually say severe recession, prolonged recession, pronounced recession. I say this is not going to be a normal recession or a mild recession. It's going to be an awful recession, and it's going to be accompanied by very, very high interest rates.
Well, my last comment, and I'll let you go, is what if you set up a one-on-one debate the same way you did with Mike Norman, you against Larry Kudlow?
Well, he wouldn't want to do it. I mean, I couldn't get Kudlow to do that, but I'm going to be doing another debate. I got to send out an email. It's going to be a live webinar kind of debate between me and Mike Norman, hosted by the Real Asset site where I did this video debate with him. It's Van Eck or somebody, Real Assets or Hard Asset Investors or some website. I'll send out an email, but it'll be a live one-hour webinar, and people can sign up. And if you sign up and you come into the virtual community, you can ask questions that both Mike Norman and myself will respond to.
All right, that's great stuff. I mean, that's some of the best content on your site is one-on-one, you and Mike Norman. It's fantastic.
Greg, we're trying to, I've talked to the people over at Fox, and I've got to call them again about trying to, get a show on Fox that would basically feature Mike and myself, kind of like as a Hannity and Combs crossfire type show, but, on the stock market and economics. But, these guys, it's hard to get them to actually bite on a concept,
I mean, it would be a great show if Mike let you talk.
Well, he'd have to because it'd be our show, so I'd have to at least get half the talk.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Anyway, we got a bunch of calls now, so let's say no more calls because now we've got, I think, three more callers and only 13 more minutes. Cindy from California. Cindy, are you there? Is Cindy there from California? Turn down your radio. All right, let's skip Cindy. Chad, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
My name's Chad from San Diego.
Okay, go ahead, Chad. You're on the air.
A couple questions. One, I do occasionally read about people talking of a deflationary collapse. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there is deflation in that debt is deflating. Assets are deflating. But we're not going to have deflation in the sense that a lot of people think of it. People think about falling consumer prices. They think about what happened in the 1930s in America when consumer prices went down. The chance of that happening is zero, right? Prices aren't going to go down. They're going to go up. Now, some prices might go down. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of people are cutting their health club memberships because they can't afford it. So health clubs are cutting prices in many respects. So some prices are falling. But the prices for goods that have a global marketplace, like food, like energy, or other consumer products, those prices are going to go through the roof. The only prices that might fall would be things like real estate that you can't export, or services like, a haircut or membership to a gym. But if we have hyperinflation, which was the worst case scenario, then even the price of haircuts is going to go through the roof. It's just that relative to the price of milk or the price of oil, haircuts are still going to get a lot cheaper. But there's no chance that we're going to experience falling consumer prices across the board. That would mean the U.S. dollar would.
Okay. My other question, or first of all, thank you. I invested a small amount of money with you this week, and I thought it was a small enough. Maybe you would turn me away, but you didn't, so I thank you for that. And my other question is regarding some other stocks that I still have with another company, and they are mostly energy based in the United States and also gold mining stocks based in the United States. I think the gold mining stocks have their operations overseas, but it's on the United States market. Are those safe to hold?
Yeah, I mean, without really knowing the stocks, I would say, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm buying these types of stocks myself, so.
Okay. I just didn't know if it needed to be based on an overseas market in order to be.
Gold mining company, I mean, it's a gold mining company. It really doesn't matter, you know, where they're mining gold. Of course, it matters in respect that, you know, what if it's in a country and they nationalize the mines? That matters a lot. Or what if they raise taxes a lot? You know, that can matter. But as far as it's a worldwide price for gold and silver, so it doesn't really matter, you know, which country the mine is located in. They're all selling in the same market. But certainly, you know, exchange rates and regulations and taxes can affect the performance of the underlying company. So.
Okay, that confirms what I believed. And the energy, American energy companies.
Excuse me?
American energy companies, what are your thoughts on those, natural gas, oil?
I mean, I own some, right? So if you're going to own a stock in America at all, you know, the oil and gas industry is one of the best places to be. But, you know, when I look at the performance of these stocks, and I own quite a few myself, the U.S. stocks have not done nearly as well as the international stocks. And the main fear I have with the U.S. stocks, and they're not expensive. There are plenty of U.S. stocks that trade at single-digit multiples, you know, so they're not, you know, overpriced, even with the growth, is that, you know, you run the political risk of, you know, massive windfall profit taxes, you know, particularly in the Obama administration. And so, you know, that's a scary proposition. And with Democrats controlling the Congress in greater numbers, with oil prices, you know, by the time President Obama takes the oath of office, certainly, you know, people are going to be paying more than $5 a gallon for gas. And, you know, the oil company is going to be a very popular target to vilify. And, you know, there's not going to be a lot of opposition for a windfall profit tax. So, you know, that's my big, my main fear for the U.S. Energy industry.
Okay. Thank you for your help, and thank you for your book.
Good. Thanks for the call. Let's move back to Cindy, who I understand is back on the phone. Can you hear me, Cindy? Cindy, are you there?
This is Brian.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what happened to Cindy, but go ahead, Brian from North Carolina.
Hi. You keep on saying Obama, President Obama. You really convinced that's the way it's going?
Well, I mean, it's either Obama or McCain, so it's not like we have, you know, a big selection there. But, I mean, obviously, I can see what's happening in the economy. I just can't imagine people going into the election booth and voting for four more years of what they've just experienced. I just can't see it. And the average American, you know, he's not going to look at the real, you know, situation. He's just going to look at things are lousy. Bush is president. Bush is a Republican. McCain is Bush. I don't want to vote for Bush again. I want to vote for something other than Bush. The only alternative I got is Obama, so I'm voting for him. And I just think that's how the process is going to be. Things are terrible. They can't get any worse. Let me vote for this other guy and see what he does. I just think it's going to be that simple, you know?
So you think gold hasn't gone below 850? You think it's from now on, you think it's just going to go up? Or what's the chances of it going below 850? I know they're dying for it to go below 850, the media, that is.
Well, I mean, it could certainly go below 850. I mean, you know, 850 is not a line in the sand. But I think that if it goes below 850, it won't stay there for long.
Yeah.
You know, I think I think that it's building a base here. And the more time it spends trading above the old highs, the more bullish it looks.
Same thing with fuel. I mean, 135, it's comfortable there, the barrel. It seems comfortable there. That
yeah.
You think this is really a bubble? They're talking bubble with the barrel of oil.
No. I mean, it's not a bubble at all. I mean, you know, that's, you know, I write about that. That's going to be the topic of my debate, that webinar-type debate with Mike Norman. It's going to be, is there a bubble in commodities? And his opinion is yes, and mine is no. I mean, we generally disagree on everything, which is why we'd have a good show. But, no, this is the one thing there's not a bubble in, and this is the classic wall of worry. You know, everybody on Wall Street is afraid to buy commodities because they're convinced it's a bubble. You know, fine. You know, let them think that. There is no bubble here. You know, I mean, if there was a bubble, believe me, I'd be the first one talking about it. I mean, I'm the one that spotted all these bubbles in advance when these guys were denying they existed.
So when we see the price,
it's not a bubble. Now, I'm looking at some of these Australian stocks are having pretty big turnarounds today. A couple of them made new lows, and now they're having some big rallies. So who knows? One of these days, the selling is going to stop in some of these names, and I think there's going to be some big, big rallies over there.
With the gold, you have like the regular price and the spot price. Which is actually the physical gold price? Is that the spot?
The spot price.
The spot price is the actual physical gold that's being.
Uh huh.
But there's so much gold that's being traded that's never, you know, measured in any way, like from one person to another, little coins.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, that doesn't count. But when they're talking about volume, they're talking about these big contracts that trade. But in any event, I think I've got, you could be the last call. Let me make sure before, because I know I had one person, I think she might have dropped off. Okay, go ahead. You're the last caller, so
but
I guess there's somebody left.
You on these shows, I always go to see the tape shows on your website, and you've been missing in action.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been, you know, I have, they haven't been pulling me on Fox Business recently. You know, they had me on these things, panels, and they pulled those. They're trying to redo it. And so, I don't know, CNN hasn't called me recently, I don't know, I haven't just been on, I haven't been on the show. We know, of course, CNBC basically banned me, they won't call me. I mean, it's not an official ban, because nobody will acknowledge that I've been banned, yet, you know, no one ever calls to book me. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, my predictions are out there, and the fact that the major media doesn't want to remind people about how right I've been and how wrong all their other guests have been. I mean, I guess that's not so surprising.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I'm going to look forward. I'm reading your book now, and it's depressing in a way, but, you know, it's reality.
I mean, that's the truth. I mean, it's not necessarily – I didn't write it to be depressing. I wrote it to be accurate and to at least provide people with a blueprint so they understand what's happening, and more importantly, so they understand what they can do about it and what they can do to protect themselves, because the people who are not protected are going to suffer a significant loss of wealth and purchasing power, and it's going to be a shame. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans, a lot of good Americans out there, good people who worked hard, who saved money, and who did the right things, and they're just going to get wiped out. I feel terrible about that. It's unfortunate, and that most of them are not going to do a thing. You know, I'm helping the people I can. I'm reaching out as best I can. But unfortunately, the vast majority of Americans who don't understand, who put their faith in the system, who trusted the integrity of the dollar, who save for retirement, you know, they're going to get screwed. I mean, even more than the people who just borrowed a bunch of money on their credit cards and bought things they couldn't afford and saved nothing for retirement. They're going to be just as broke as the people who did save.
Silver, gold, guns, and ammo, that's what we've been buying. If you watch the price of ammunition, it is just going through the roof.
Oh, are you? Somebody talked to me about that in the New York seminar. Was that you?
No, but...
Somebody told me they bought a lot of ammunition, and it tripled in value. They actually were making money. The investment value of their ammo, the lead in the ammo, had gone up so much. I'd never even thought of, you know, ammunition as an investment, but apparently it works.
It is. Well, we're going to have to be protecting our property. If it gets as bad as you're saying it could get, and people are going to get desperate, I mean, you're going to have to...
Yeah, well, anyway, on that note, I got to let you go. I got about 30 seconds left. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember to visit the website, www.europac.net. Call us toll-free, 800-727-7922. Buy a few more copies of Crash Proof. Write reviews on Amazon. And click on that number 2 review. Say that it's helpful. Let's move that thing. Let's see if we can get it moved up to number 1 by next week's show. Anyway, thanks again, everybody. I will be back next Wednesday, same time, same website, same channel on shortwave.